Let's turn our Bibles today to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of enduring faith. And there's things that threaten our faith, there are. But, you know, we've got to endure. And the Bible says, those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And I was talking about the tribulation there, but I believe enduring whatever life brings is so important. And so let's look at enduring faith today. God gave us, has dealt to every man the measure of faith, whatever we need to believe him as Savior, and also faith to live day by day. God has granted that. And so let's look at Isaiah chapter 50. We'll begin with verse 2. Why when I came there was no man, and why when I called was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed with my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, I make sackcloth their covering. Verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you for your holy presence, dear Savior. Pray, Lord, your anointing, God, would be upon servant, your people, that we may hear, God, what you have to say to the church today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe see. Enduring faith. If anybody knew what it was to have enduring faith, it would be the prophet Isaiah. He prophesied over a half of a century under four kings, the kings of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, those four kings. And so he knew what it was to walk through difficult times. He knew what it was to endure things. And so that's endurance is something we can all relate to. Amen. I know that you've endured some things. All of us have. And so in military people, when they're in basic training, they're taught endurance. And I remember my brother was in the military. They'd run a mile before breakfast. And they didn't gripe about the food. They was glad to eat anything. Marathon runners don't start off in a sprint. They pace themselves so that they can finish the race. And so they learn endurance. But there are some things to endure in life. We know that. There are some people to endure. And some people have endured you and I too. If you don't say amen, you're guilty. No. But this is inevitable. However, we must, like Christ, have set our face to endure, knowing it will not be the last, it will not last forever. Just consider endurance a normal part of the Christian life. I'm not saying you have to be defeated or count downcast all the time. You don't. You shouldn't be most of the time. Amen. God's able to lift you up. God's able to give you strength. God is able to give you a word of encouragement through the scriptures, or from some brother or sister that God has put them on your heart. But you are not the only one who has endured. I'm not the only one that's endured, but we all have. And so let's look at endurance for just a moment. Enduring faith. What is endurance? It is continuing Christian commitment in the face of difficulty. The endurance of Christians in the face of persecution and temptation underlies most of the New Testament that we read. Because I want to tell you, the early church, they endured a lot of things. Amen. They didn't have their favorite faith teachers that told them how to get out of everything. and if they ever taught anybody how to get out of anything. But it's inevitable that the church has been persecuted. It has to have endurance. You and I have to have endurance too. And endurance simply is maintaining faith when undesirable, unexpected things happen. And I look in the Old Testament, I go back to the book of Job, because faith teachers don't like Job because they don't think he had enough faith. But Job's in the Bible because God put him there. And there, and Job lost everything he had. He was a wealthy man. He had sheep and oxen and donkeys. Amen. You say, well, that doesn't sound wealthy. Well, it was for then. And he had camels, everything. And I mean, he could, without any cost at all, he'd give a free camel ride for the kids. And so he had a lot of stuff. But in just a very short time, he lost everything, one right after the other, not including he lost 10 sons and daughters, 7 sons and 3 daughters, 7 children in one day. And oftentimes that people gripe at Job's wife because she said, why don't you just curse God and die? And that's, and she shouldn't have, and she should have been corrected by that. But if you've given up 10 children in one day, you would have trouble continuing on and saying, God, do I really have to endure this? You would need God's help. But Job did have God's help, and he lived for God. He knew what it was to endure loss. He knew what it was to endure suffering. He knew what grief was. Yet, in the end, he didn't give up his faith in God. He had an enduring faith. He was restored completely at the end, and he leaves a testimony today that he was one who endured to the end, faith. And there are examples of endurance in Scripture. Throughout the Scripture, the early church endured persecution. And some endure persecution today. And what we call persecution here in the United States is really not persecution at all. We think it persecution if somebody doesn't like it because we stand for Jesus or live for God. That's not persecution at all. There's people that will die and pay for their faith with their lives, probably today. And people that are cut out of society and given the lowest jobs possible simply because they named the name of Christ. In our world today, I'm not talking about 1,000 years ago, I'm talking about today. But when it comes to endurance, Jesus is the ultimate example of endurance. And if I can call your attention to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 11 talks about the faith, chapter of faith of all the people of the Old Testament, the great peoples of the Old Testament, but yet in the 12th chapter it says, therefore, brethren, see, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. That would be the people in the 11th chapter, not angels. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sit down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such persecution. Amen. Consider him. Amen. From sinners, hostility from sinners against himself, lest you also become weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, he's saying, think you've got it hard, church, just remember your Savior endured a whole lot. And he did. Praise the Lord. He went to the cross, the most awful, painful means of execution ever invented by sinful mankind. But Jesus did this. He went to the cross and he endured the cross, endured the suffering, the shame there, because he wanted fellowship with you and I. We are created in God's likeness and image. We are the children of God by faith in Christ. We're the children of God. We didn't deserve to be, but he has made us to be his children. Praise the Lord. The Bible says now we are the sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God wanted eternal fellowship with you and I, and therefore he endured the cross to pay for sins, to make a way of atonement, which he was not obligated to do. Amen. To make a way of atonement for you and I, to make salvation possible for you and I, not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world, not just certain picked out few by him. He died for the sins of the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so there's many examples of endurance, and Jesus is our greatest example of endurance. But now let's move on to faith to endure. Faith to endure the impossible. Faith is knowing that God is all-powerful. If we look in our scripture, we find in verses 2 and 3 there, we find that when I came, was there no man? And when I called, was there no answer? None to answer. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? These questions are asked here. The prophet asks these questions to the nation of Israel and Judah. And he begins to talk to them. And the impossible, God gives faith to endure. Amen. Because God's hand is not shortened that it cannot redeem, but he still has power to deliver. And I want to tell you, God is not weakened with age. He's been here forever and will be here forever. It's hard for us to comprehend eternity past and eternity future. Amen. There's some things in your life that may sound like they're never going to end, but they will. But I want to tell you, God has never began. He will never end. He is eternal. And God gives to you and I eternal life. We began, all began somewhere, but we will never end. We'll spend eternity in one of two places. Amen. And I urge you to make that heaven. You can. Praise the Lord, because of what Jesus did on the cross. But faith to endure. Is God's hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Has God ever come up against something that he couldn't handle? I don't think so. Has God ever needed your advice or my advice on how he ought to do a certain thing? No, because he knows all things. He does all things perfect. He does all things right. Amen. You say, well, he did something that wasn't right in my life. Well, maybe it's you that did it instead of him. Amen. Because God is absolutely perfect. And he cannot lie. He cannot sin. He cannot encourage sin in any way. Amen. But God is completely pure, completely holy, without sin ever. And so faith to endure. And he who created all things has power over all things. Praise God. Here in verse 3 it says, I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. If God created all things, and he surely can take care of you and I. He created all things, has power over all things. Amen. Faith here, the hand of God here is actually, in verse 2, the hand of God is talking about the power of God. He has power to redeem. He has power to pull people out of sin. Has power to deliver. Has power to set people free. We can only imagine what would become of our lives into the depths of sin we would have fallen had God not reached in and saved us somewhere along the line. And we could see here that, you know, the most horrible, sinful things you hear on the evening news or on the radio or on televisions, you hear of how awful men, people can be and how awful things can do. That could have been you and that could have been me if it were not for the grace of God that intervened in our life and saved us. Because there's no limit to what sin can do to a person and destroy, how a person can be destroyed by sin. But there is no limit to the grace of God and the love of God, where God can lift a person up out of the pits of sin and give them eternal life. His arm is not short. His hand is powerful. He's mighty to save, deliver, and to set free today, like he always has been. Praise the Lord. Faith to endure. Faith to endure temptation. Let's look at that for just a moment. We need to understand we don't face life alone. God didn't just save us and just decide to leave us alone the rest of our lives and let us work it out the best way we can. God is ever present. I'm excited about a present Jesus. Powerful Jesus. Not an absent God, not an absent Jesus, but a present Jesus. Matter of fact, one of the names of Jehovah, names of God in the Old Testament, is Jehovah Shammah, means the Lord is there, the Lord is present. And so he's there. He's there in temptation. Amen. You say, well, I'm not tempted very much. Yes, you are. You're tempted a lot of times to do things and say things that you shouldn't. We all are tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I had a guy try to tell me one time that Jesus was perfect, so he never was tempted. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The difference is he never caved into it, and we did. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. You can't say nobody's ever faced this before. They have. It says, but God is faithful. Aren't you glad? We could stop right there and preach for a while. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with a temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And this was where our part comes in. With God makes a way of escape, it's our responsibility to take the way he's given and escape. Praise the Lord. And so temptation comes to everybody, and we're tempted to do things we know we shouldn't do. We've probably caved into temptation to do things we shouldn't have done, said things we shouldn't have said. But the Holy Spirit is there to knock on our heart's door and say, hey, you need to make things right with that person you said that to. So God is there. Amen. So consider endurance a part of the Christian life. Because Christians take human weakness seriously, they realize the crucial necessity of divine support. I can't do it without God's help. If you try, you'll fail. You need God's help to endure. And thus, prayer becomes a vital part of the Christian pilgrimage down here in this life. Jesus told the disciples right before the cross, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to pray. Amen. And prayer is a key element in adequate arming Christians for endurance in the battle against the forces of evil. And so Paul told the church at Ephesus, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may stand against the schemings of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. And he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, and he names the whole armor of God, the shield of faith and the shoes of peace, and all these things. And then at the end he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So he didn't leave prayer out as a weapon to be used in this warfare. And God helps us to be people of prayer, and we must become people of prayer. Am I to tell you, friend, you don't need prayer. Let me tell you something. Don't say you don't need prayer, because God is able to allow you to go through a place where you've got to pray. Amen. And so God wants us to be people of prayer. Faith to endure comes, and prayer is part of the Christian armor. Amen. You ever think about how many things God created? Stars, moons, and all kinds of things, planets, galaxies beyond our own that we know nothing of. And yet God cares personally for you and I individually. We're nothing but a speck in God's eternity, but God cares for you, loves you. Amen. And then Isaiah the prophet, he writes and he says in Isaiah chapter 40, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint. He is not weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he gives strength. Even the youth shall faint. Even the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Prayer. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar on wings, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As God walks with you, as you walk with God, God gives you the strength, gives you the power to endure, to overcome, to be victorious. Amen. There's no victory outside of Christ. I don't care how many people will jump up and down at something that's happened in your life. There's really no victory outside of Christ. It's God that gives a victory, and God meant for us to be a victorious people. God meant for us to be a people that overcome. Amen. And are victorious. Hallelujah. That battle to endure is a lifelong battle. And I've heard some people say, well, poor me, all I've ever had is trials and tribulations all my Christian life. Oh, you poor thing. You know, God doesn't make all trials and tribulations that we go through. Some of them we just create ourselves. Choices we make. Man. But God will help us through. Even when we're weak, he's strong. He's not going to get weaker. He's stronger. And so it's a lifelong battle. And Paul knew this, the Apostle Paul. If he could look back with the guilt and regret of his past, he could have stayed there if he wanted to. But he didn't. He was a persecutor of the church. He called himself the chiefest of sinners. He was lost until he was found. Till he had a encounter with Jesus Christ, saved and changed forever and become one of the greatest preachers of the gospel that ever was, the Apostle Paul. Amen. He endured prison. He endured shipwreck. He endured everything that would cause a person to give up that could give up. He was stoned and left for dead once, but God raised him up. But I want to tell you something. He didn't. His faith in Christ didn't go under. He didn't quit believing in the Christ that had saved him. He kept walking with God. He endured. He kept on going no matter what. Hallelujah. And at the end of his life, and he was martyred for his faith, but he could say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. He had an enduring faith. Praise the Lord. Number three, remain firm when endurance is required. In verse 4, it says here, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Some scholars, and I agree with them, attribute this to Christ. Because you see, Isaiah saw far ahead in time. 700 years before Christ would come, he spoke in detail of what Jesus would accomplish on the cross in Isaiah 53. But here, I believe this can go back also that God has given me the tongue of the learned to speak a word to him who is weary at a season in their life. There's many times that God has spoken to me through his word, just encouraged me. You can say, oh, it was written for somebody else, but God, the Holy Spirit, make it real to me today. Amen. That doesn't mean you can twist scripture to your own, to whatever you want in a carnal way, but it does mean that God can help you, walk you through. How many times have God, has the word said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'm with you always, even to the end of the age? Amen. Praise God. Knowing that God is with you. That wasn't applicable just to the disciples that time. Amen. He's promised to walk with us to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. And when Jesus walked the face of this earth, the Bible, you know, some people were sent to him to try to catch him in his words. And they returned and said, what did you find out about Jesus? And he said, never a man spake like this man. No one has ever said words like the words that Jesus spoke. He knows how to speak a word to who is him who is weary. To those who are enduring things in their life, God knows how to speak to you. God knows how to give you assurance in your heart that everything is going to be okay. You don't have to have somebody else's approval. You don't have to have somebody else's opinion. You know that God said it. God will help you. God is present. God has not failed, and he's not going to fail with you either. Hallelujah. And God is able to sustain, to comfort, to refresh us by his promises and his counsels. And Jesus was well qualified to alleviate those who were heavy laden with sin and to comfort those who were burdened with calamities and trials. Yes, Jesus was able to do that, still able to do that. And, you know, there's a theology around that God doesn't do miracles anymore. All that's passed away when the apostles passed away, and God just doesn't do anything supernatural anymore. That's a theology that didn't come from the Bible. I find throughout the New Testament church there's signs and wonders and miracles. God did the impossible. What was impossible with man was never impossible with God. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can do today what he did then. Amen. We need to believe God for the mighty, the supernatural, the power of God for divine deliverance and healing. And God to work miracles in your life. Amen. Not what miracles that are born for our own carnal man, but miracles that are needed that will glorify Christ. Amen. The weary here and those who are burdened with a sense of guilt. And there's people who are burdened with a sense of guilt all the time for something they did years ago. And God has forgiven them 1,000 times over, but they hadn't forgiven themselves. But people who feel they have no strength to bear up under the mighty load and that would seek relief. Jesus ran across people like this. They were so burdened down in Jesus' day with the legalisms of the scribes and the Pharisees that they could not feel like they were all right with God because the Pharisees had added so many things to the law to try to make people perfect. Jesus said at one place, he said to the Pharisees, he said, you stand at the door and keep people from entering in. You're not entering in yourself, but you keep trying to keep other people from entering in too. He wasn't talking about the church building. He's talking about into the presence of God. Amen. Relationship with God. And on one time, Jesus reached out to hurting people, people that were enduring these legalistic things that were being put upon them by the Pharisees. And he said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 tells us that. And so Jesus helped people. He spoke to people. He talked to people in their need. He reached right where they were and says, there's hope for you. You can come to me. I'm going to give you rest. You don't have to wrestle with this the rest of your life. I can give you freedom from guilt and shame and sin, and I can set you free. And he can and does. That doesn't mean that Jesus makes it okay to sin all you want to. And to live in the carnal nature, that means that God gives you the power to overcome and to say no to sin. There was a time in Jesus' life that he knew he must endure the cross. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51, it says that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. And his disciple says, you know, in Jerusalem, they'll kill you if you go there. He didn't turn from any way except going straight through to Jerusalem, knowing what he would face when he got there. He did that for you and I. He set his face when he knew he would great endurance it would require to walk through the cross. You and I need to set our face to keep the faith till the end. Amen. In verse 7 here in our text, let's back up a little bit. Verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me. Jesus was beaten. Amen. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. My cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. For a Jewish man to lose his beard was to lose his dignity. Amen. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. When Jesus went to be crucified, they shamed him, spit upon him, struck him, crowned him with a crown of thorns, beat him. He took every possible torture that you could put in execution upon our Savior and our Lord. And he did it for our good. Not because he had done anything wrong, but because you and I had. And he was judged in our place for our sins. I didn't hide my face from shame and spitting. He endured. Fulfillment of verse 7 is in Luke 9:51. But verse 7 here it says in Isaiah 50:7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. I know that I will not be ashamed. With certainty, he made the decision, Lord, I've got to, Father in heaven, I've got to obey your will. I've got to go to the cross. I can't pass this by, even that he prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he went to Calvary. He bore the shame. He bore the spitting. He bore everything. He endured the cross. He endured everything for you and I. He accepted the Father's will. He set his face to go to Jerusalem knowing the cross was awaiting him. And he endured the cross. Consider that when you feel like giving up. What Jesus endured for my salvation, yours. And in the end, endurance brings victory. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12, about Jesus who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy was there in enduring the cross? Because he would look down in time and see millions who would be set free from the law of sin and death, who would go to heaven instead of hell, who would be born again of the Spirit and be children of God and people of God. He saw mankind created in his own likeness and image, and he would save them from eternal punishment, eternal separation, the second death as it's called in the book of Revelation. He saw the joy that was set before him as seeing you and I set free from sin, and the joy was that he would have fellowship with us forever. You say, well, there's a lot of people that can live a good life without having fellowship with me. Let me tell you something. God intended for you to share his eternity. That's beyond human reason. Why? I don't know. I'm just glad that he determined that. Amen. He wants mankind to be with him forever. Amen. The old song that says, we sing it a lot of times, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He saw millions who would be set free from the law. And he saw you. You can take it personally. God will assure us with his word. Amen. God has promised victory now, not just in heaven. I'm not here to tell you that life is all a life of enduring hard things. That's all it's about. No, there's joy in serving God too. There may be trials all along the way, but there's also joy all along the way. There's also always hope all along the way. There's power. There's victory all along the way as we walk this journey of faith. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. You can't endure by yourself, but with God's help, you can endure to the end. Amen. Endure. Walk with God, and he will walk with you. Praise God.